if Congress passes the Defense Acquisition Reform Bill introduced by House Armed Services Committee Chairman Mac Thornberry this week, it won't be enough to fix the defense acquisition system, and he's the first to admit that. But the legislation does attempt to chip away at what Thornberry views as some clear problems, including a lack of lines of clear authority and too much paperwork. Beth McGrath is Federal Practice Director at Deloitte and former Deputy Chief Management Officer at the Defense Department. She's here to give her thoughts on the bill. Beth, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming back on Federal News Radio.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And in the discussion draft that Mr. Thornberry dropped on Wednesday, he makes clear right up front that the decades of different reforms Congress has tried in the past really haven't made a difference. He says this would represent a different approach trying to, as he puts it, improve the environment driving acquisition decisions in the Department of Defense. Curious your views on that approach compared to what Congress has done in past, tackling the environment versus layering on new requirements.
Well, as Chairman Thornberry mentioned on, I think it was Monday, culture has a big role to play in, I'll say, making progress with anything, but in particular something as broad as acquisition in the Defense Department. And so, you know, much of what has been in place there has been in place for such a long time that it's not only changing some of the policies and practices, but also the culture and incentive structures that exist.
A big focus in this reform that he talked about Monday and released formally on Wednesday on reducing the amount of paperwork that particularly program managers, but I think also the department as a whole, has to produce and deliver to Congress in the form of reports. How helpful is that line of thinking, do you think, both to, you know, the day-to-day management of programs and just keeping the wheels of the department turning more productively?
Well, I don't think you'd find a person who would be disappointed not to, you know, to eliminate some of the reports that need to be done. I do think, though, and I think Congressman Thornberry mentioned, you know, it's a balance of, you know, transparency in a more probably perpetual way and more dialogue with all the overseers and the participants and not necessarily communicating in a report format. And so I think it's, you know, eliminating a paper-based approach to informing people and communicating is a good thing. I do think, though, that, you know, having the right amount of engagement and oversight will also be extremely important going forward.
A big focus, too, here on people, and I think people who are worried about the size and the quality of the acquisition workforce would take heart from the fact that he would make the Acquisition Workforce Development Fund a permanent feature of DOD. Also a lot of focus on training of the acquisition workforce, in particular about how to do commercial item acquisitions. I'm curious your views on that. Is there a lack of knowledge or understanding or expertise in that area right now in the department?
Well, I would say, you know, people is a huge part of this whole conversation, obviously, because they're involved. People are involved in every aspect of an acquisition, from requirements to the budgeting, contracting, et cetera. And so I absolutely applaud that. I do think that, you know, part of the calculus needs to include the a more open and regular dialogue between industry and government. His proposal also gets at that. And so it's, you know, how do you share across boundaries, if you will, government to industry, and how do you ensure that the government team is, you know, maintains a level of knowledge that keeps them up to speed with what's happening in technology, not only from a weapon system side, but some of the more basic commercial off-the-shelf capabilities that I believe could be deployed more quickly than they are today.
Also on the people side, I think the draft legislation would require DOD to do a full review of all of the ethics training that it does right now. And I'm not totally clear on whether he's trying to beef up that ethics training or trying to cut it back. Is there a sense that there is so much emphasis in training on ethics right now that it makes people nervous to have dialogue and communication with industry?
I would say that there is definitely a nervousness that happens. And, you know, now that I've been outside the government for a little over a year, I absolutely see that. And I think that, you know, people don't want to certainly cross any statutory lines that exist, but they also have perception nervousness that happens. And I think that, you know, people are conservative and they'll err on the side of no when something, you know, frankly, dialogue and communication should happen, especially early in a program between government and industry. And so I think what he's trying to get at is, hey, you know, there are ethics, rules, and regulations that we all need to abide by, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk. And so providing greater clarity on what those rules and regulations are, I believe, will help encourage communication to happen, and then people will understand where the barriers are.
If I had to use one word to characterize this bill, I think I would say cautious. And Mr. Thornberry has made clear that he doesn't want to jump in with 2 feet in and propose big, ambitious reforms that might do more harm than good in the long run. It seems like he wants consensus around this. Is that the right approach at this point in time, or does Congress need a bigger, bolder reform?
Well, I think that, you know, his approach has, I think, something for everyone, from, you know, looking at requirements and workforce and, you know, I'll just say people and qualifications, so sort of this government to industry dialogue. And I think what his intent is to say, well, let me put something out there and then let me see what people think. And then, frankly, there's so much in here that they're definitely a need to prioritize, you know, what goes first and then mm-hmm. how far, you know, can we take things. I think there are things in here that are easier to achieve than others. To me, and I've spent the last probably 15 years in the information technology space, in particular on the business side, I actually do think, you know, driving IT, I'll just say harder and more deliberately in the near term, is probably easier than a like a weapon system type change, but I think that it takes us too long to deploy IT capability, and I think that, you know, removing some of these barriers, reducing the reports, putting the qualified people in place, having the right contract structure will enable a faster, you know, market delivery of capability.
As you look through the entire compendium of what he's put forward here, are there a few things that you would pick out and name as key priorities that Congress should make sure they get done in the NDAA this year, or things that are missing that you think should be there that are urgent priorities?
Well, I think the people part is super important. So having a both on the military and civilian side, you know, rewarding and enabling, you know, strong program managers to be in place, I think is key. I also think some way to talk about alignment of incentives and accountability for all involved in the acquisition process. You know, we talk often about the program manager, but he or she may not have the decision-making authority that is needed. And so I think aligning both accountability and authority for all those who play is really important. I personally like the shared savings approach. I think he refers to the, you know, value engineering and shared savings. But I think that, you know, whenever you can align industry and government with a, you know, an incentive structure there where everybody wins is a really good scenario to have, and also it balances, you know, risk as well between government and industry. And so, you know, I think doing something in each one of the areas will be important, and I think showing progress will also be important.
Let me take off for a second on the incentive point that you just raised. In the draft legislation, Mr. Thornberry makes the point that he thinks the incentives right now are aligned to prompt the Pentagon and Congress, really, to keep alive more programs than the defense acquisition system and the defense budget can actually support. I wonder if you agree with that, and if so, why that is, what those incentives are that push programs to stay alive even if the department can't afford them.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I can speak more specifically to the information technology than I can to the, you know, weapons programs, but
sure.
I think, you know, some of it is culture. I think that, you know, once the department, and I'll speak to as if, you know, I was there, once we make a decision that we're going down a path and we make investments in a program, it's, you know, it's harder to stop that progress than it is just to say, hey, you know, it's not going well. And so I do think that the cultural aspects of, you know, stopping programs needs to also be overcome. Because I think failure needs to be an acceptable outcome, saying that, you know, if we're going to use prototyping and some will work and some won't, and if something doesn't, then we should say, okay, we tried it and it didn't work, but we learned something. And so then, therefore, it was worth spending the money and the time. That's a cultural a dimension that, especially in IT, you know, needs to be one that's more broadly accepted. It is certainly accepted on the commercial side. You know, if something, they try it, if it's going well, they continue. If it's not going well, they shut it down, and it's not deemed so much as a failure as a, okay, that didn't work, let's go on to the next thing. And so, you know, I do think there's a little more cultural in there than perhaps one might expect.
Yeah, and that change gets back to the people piece that you raised before, because in order for that to happen, a quote-unquote failure needs to mean that your career as a program manager isn't over if you admit quote-unquote failure.
Well, right, and you know, I think people need to go in saying, this is what we're going to try, this is what prototyping is all about, this is why we try things. And you want someone who can effectively program manage, you know, an initiative, a weapon system, a services, you know, whatever it is you're buying. But understanding that, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. But we also have the courage to shut it down much more quickly than we do today.
Beth McGrath, Federal Practice Director of Deloitte and former Deputy Chief Management Officer at DOD. Always appreciate your insights.
Thank you so much.